From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our program. Tonight we play the fourth and last extract from Mrs. Lorraine King's testimony. We have been offering the full testimony tape free to anyone who contacts us. Many of you have, and I hope that you have enjoyed the tape and that you have shared it with others. We will also continue our study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. Tonight we consider the doctrine of everlasting punishment. But before we come to that, here is Mrs. Lorraine King and the final extract from her testimony. 4 years have passed since the night Mrs. King and her husband were saved. But she has been praying very much for her parents. God answered her prayers, but in a way she had never anticipated. In January 1992, God took a dealing with her father, first of all. Here's Mrs. King as she takes up her story at that point.
January the 17th, 1992 started just like any other day. I had heard in the news that there had been an explosion. Our telephone began to ring and people were asking me, "Is your father home? Do you know if your daddy's home?" And I began to realise that something was wrong. I made my way down home to Mummy. I found her standing in the front room in the dark, looking up the road, waiting on lights of a van that Daddy had come home in every day. She said to me, "I hear there's an explosion, but I'm waiting on your Daddy to come home." I didn't want to believe that Daddy was in that explosion, but the phone began to ring and people began coming to the house, and you began to realise that yes, something was wrong. Daddy didn't come home. We spent that evening not knowing. It gave out the news that there'd been an explosion at T-Van. And Mummy said, "That's your daddy's van, Lorraine." Then a phone call came from Oma Hospital to say that Daddy had been admitted into hospital, and I praised God that he was alive. So we made our way to Oma Hospital that night, and eventually we got there, and we didn't know what we were going to face. And I remember the sister showing us into a wee room where Daddy was. You know, it's very hard to look on your father. Daddy was a big, strong man, and he was the man that you always went to with all your troubles, and he was always there for you. You always felt secure when you were in his company as a child. You always went to Daddy with your troubles. And it was very hard to look upon your father in a bed, all broken and fragile, and most of all, the fear in his eyes. He looked so frightened. And I realised it was my time to be strong for him. I remember going over to him and telling him that I loved him. And I said, "Daddy, you know who has spared your life tonight." And he shook his head. He knew. Daddy survived, and yet 8 of his workmates were killed that night instantly. And I knew God's hand was upon him. And his injuries were not life-threatening. He had broken bones. Part of his kneecap had been blown away. Daddy was able to say right away that he thought he had been electrocuted. He said, "I thought I was being electrocuted." He said, "I remember being thrown up into the air." And he says, "The burning in my body." He says, "I thought we had hit overhead cables." The heat. He remembered the fear that he had in his heart. He couldn't breathe. But more than anything, his first words were unto God. Daddy cried, "Oh God, don't let me die here. Save me." He was crying to God to save him physically. His first thought was on God. God who held the very breath of his body in his hand. God who controlled whether he lived or died. The God that could save him. 3 weeks later, Daddy got saved in a hospital bed. And you know, I went up to see him, but he didn't have to tell me. His face was different. though he was all broken, and though he had come through a terrible trauma, his countenance was changed. The peace of God had flooded his soul.
Let me encourage you to send for the tape of Mrs. Lorraine King's testimony. We have only been able to play small portions of it. You'll enjoy the full story. Now let's turn to our study, The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. Our subject this evening is the doctrine of everlasting punishment. I suppose that this must be deemed one of the most unpopular subjects for a minister to deal with, but it might also be termed as one of the most important subjects a minister could deal with. There are only two destinations to which men can go, referred to in the Bible: heaven and hell. There are only two paths upon which we may travel through life, the broad way or the narrow way. As we read in Matthew chapter 7, the verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," or narrow gate, "for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Destruction, life, those are the two destinations. I wish to speak a little on the doctrine of hell, or the doctrine of everlasting punishment. Let me state firstly that this subject is dealt with very plainly in the Bible. It is referred to by many writers. Most of all, it is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is his words on the subject that we will principally consider. It was amongst the first doctrines he taught. Luke chapter 4 and the verse 16 gives us the Saviour beginning his ministry in his own hometown. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." This portion that he opened is found in Isaiah chapter 61, the verses 1 and 2. Let me read you from that account. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." The topic of the vengeance of God upon rebellious sinners is a vital and important part of the gospel. Why would we need to be saved if there was nothing to be saved from? This doctrine of everlasting punishment was among the most frequent that Christ mentioned. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. When you read the New Testament, you will discover that the Lord Jesus brought his listeners again and again and again to the subject of hell and everlasting punishment. It will be the last topic most men will hear from his mouth. Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 41 gives us the words that Christ will speak when he punishes the rebellious. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This subject, I tell you, is dealt with plainly in the Bible, and none deal with it more plainly than the Lord Jesus Christ. The second point I want to set before you is, why is this subject dealt with? Well, first of all, because there is such a place. There is such a place as hell. Such a dreadful place that we must take heed to what the Bible says in order that we might escape it. It's dealt with because God's love for sinners demands that a warning be issued. You remember how it was with Christ when he came into the city of Jerusalem for the last time, just before he was crucified. It says, and here I read from Luke chapter 19 and the verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Rebellious sinners, unheeding sinners, wept over by Christ because they would suffer the consequences of the rebellion, even everlasting punishment. Paul the Apostle explained why he put up with all the afflictions that came his way as he went about preaching the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Why is it dealt with? Because there is such a place. Because the love that God has placed in the hearts of his servants demand that a warning be issued. And also, it's dealt with that God's servants might be free of any guilt. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in the verse 16, God says, "When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." When a preacher fails to warn men and women of the danger their soul is in, God says he will hold them guilty of that failure and demand an account from them. Paul the Apostle was able to say to the leaders of the church at Ephesus, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." How could he say that? Because he preached faithfully the whole counsel of God and spoke clearly of the danger of hell that men, because of their sins, were in. Oh, there is a need for us to deal with this subject, because we will be held guilty as preachers if we do not deal with it. My time is gone. We're going to continue and look a little more at the subject of everlasting punishment. Oh, may you heed the warnings of the Bible and flee from wrath to come to the everlasting arms of Christ. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.